97.5, The Fanatic.
We got to do it. We got to have that conversation about Brett Brown. It's not like I want to. I like to be talking about a number one team in the East. But in a way, they did this themselves. They did it themselves. They put themselves in the situation where I'm sitting here talking at 9:03 on a Wednesday night about whether Brett Brown is the right guy for this job. Now, I put in a Twitter poll. You could follow the show on Twitter at @Pat_Egan. And it was a simple question. Do they need to usher in the new year with a new era? Does Brett Brown need to go? Yes, no, not yet. Those were your three options. 57% say, yeah, he needs to go. 28% say, no, not yet. And 15% say, no, not at all. He doesn't need to go. Now, I ask everybody out there, do you know for certain he can coach? Do you know? He's been here since 2013. Do you know if he can coach? Because I don't. I have no idea. I have no clue if this guy can actually coach. I know he's a great guy. I know he comes from an amazing coaching tree. Obviously, being on the bench of Greg Popovich, you're going to learn some things. I know that he was put in a very tough situation when he first got here, and that's why he has so much slack. But at what point as an organization do you say, we are no longer rebuilding, and we are in win-now mode? I thought they already said that. I really did. I thought I heard it. It might have been a dream. But I swore when they made all of these moves that they're in win-now mode. And even after they started the season off the way they did, by winning five straight and losing three in a row after that to bring their record to 5-3, which is really a good sign of how the season's gone with the inconsistent play, Brett Brown comes out and says, we'll have it figured out by the new year. If you are unaware, it's January 1st. It's the new year. And they don't have anything figured out. They have nothing. They go into Indianapolis and they lose to the Indiana Pacers. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The Pacers. The Victor Oladipo-less Pacers, right? Like that squad, you just lost to them. This is after losing to Orlando. This is after losing to Miami. You lose to them. You have TJ McConnell waving on the 45 fans in Indiana who are going nuts. Because they've got nothing to do. It's not farm season anymore. So, hey, let's go to the Pacers game. I got some free tickets from the Piggly Wiggly. So, let's head on over there. And then I've got to see TJ McConnell acting like he just won the NBA Finals.
For Pete's sakes!
I mean, that's cool, I guess. What a way to end 2019. And on top of it, it was the post-game comments that stood out the most. It wasn't the fact that they got shellacked by, in my opinion, an inferior opponent. I don't want to hear that Joel Embiid was out. I'm aware. This team was built to win games, even if Joel Embiid's not playing. To win a game here, to win a game there. They're built that way. There's no excuse. This isn't 3 years ago. When if Joel Embiid's out, oh my God, that's it. We'll be lucky to win a game. No. Not with Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Josh Richardson. You should be able to win in Indiana without Joel Embiid. You should be able to give him a blow and let him rest and have the confidence that we'll win a basketball game. I got football in the brain. We'll win a basketball game. They weren't able to do it. It was embarrassing. I haven't even brought up their third quarter struggles this season. They've got to be one of the worst third quarter basketball teams in the NBA. Every single game, they come out of halftime. What is Brett Brown telling these guys where they come out of halftime and they're just terrible? Yesterday was no different. No different yesterday. They didn't wake up. This team lacks a leader. It flat out lacks a leader. Their leader is in Miami. He was ushered out because he didn't get along with your 23-year-old point guard. That's fine. I get it. It's more than basketball. If he doesn't like his attitude, the organization's got to choose. You're going to pick a 23-year-old over a 30-year-old. What I don't like is the fact the organization made it sound like when free agency hit that Jimmy Butler decided to leave. No, he didn't. Stop. Stop. Don't kid yourself. He didn't decide to leave. It's ridiculous. Did he see some problems in the Sixers? Absolutely he did. And it's the same problems that a lot of fans have seen this entire season, the last season before that, and the season before that. There's a lack of accountability with this team. There were signs of it before, but we didn't know for certain, right? We would see signs, but we didn't know because we're not on the inside. Then Jimmy Butler calls out Brett Brown last year in Portland, and the big story of that wasn't necessarily why is he calling out Brett Brown. It was, oh my God, here we go again with Jimmy Butler. As if Jimmy Butler, you know, someone messed up his Starbucks order and he just came into work all pissed off. Now, there's probably a reason why he yelled at Brett Brown that day. It's because Brett Brown is not a leader of men. He's not the guy to get you over the top. Brett Brown is Doug Collins, and this team needs Phil Jackson. Not actual Phil Jackson, but they need that guy that gets him over the hump. At this point, you cannot convince me that Brett Brown is the man that is going to get you an NBA championship. Just not. I'm sorry. He's the guy to get you to the guy. He's had his time. But I'm done. It's January 1st. I'm done. We can make all the excuses in the book. I've heard them all. I've heard them. Oh, don't worry. This team's built for the playoffs. Playoffs? To quote Mora, playoffs? How about we win a game? Talking about playoffs. You know what good teams do that are built for the playoffs? They beat teams. They beat inferior opponents. They go into another person's house, resting their best starter, and they beat them.
Correct.
That's what playoff teams do. That's what teams build for. You can't convince me. Oh my God. I mean, hey, don't look. I understand they're losing as like literally like every bad team out there. Don't worry though. I mean, they're built for the playoffs. What? So they're just taking their foot off the gas? Is that it? Because that's a problem. If they just are playing down to their opponent, that's a problem. Goes back to coaching. The accountability of Ben Simmons goes to coaching. It troubles me. I had a caller earlier bring up, it's not so much on Ben or Brett, it's on Ben. I think the two go hand in hand. I think you can't blame one without blaming the other. I don't think anyone is innocent in this factor or in this situation. But when you factor in that Brett Brown has known Ben Simmons for a large portion of his life, because he knew his dad from Australia. He is comfortable with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is, quote, comfortable with him. But does that mean that Brett Brown is so comfortable with him that he's feels uncomfortable yelling at the kid? Maybe. Possibly. Because when I see Ben Simmons going up against a 6'2" Kendrick Nunn in a clutch game time situation, and he kicks out for a three ball when he could just take him to the rim and do what he does best and be aggressive Ben Simmons, and there's no accountability for that, I get frustrated. But then when I hear Josh Richardson, who's been here for about 7.5 minutes, tell the media, yeah, there's a lack of accountability in this room, I go, okay, at least I'm not crazy, because I've been seeing it and I've been hearing whispers about it. And this is not just Joel and this is not just Ben, but it goes farther back than that to Nerlens and to Jahlil, that if you're a superstar, don't worry. You're good. Don't worry. The rules don't apply to you. We want to keep the superstars happy. We want to baby the superstars. You know what? This team needs a kick in the ass right now. They need to wake up. They need a different voice. I threw out a name out there. I have no idea if they can go get Jeff Van Gundy, but that's the name that I have for you. But at this point, I think they just need a different name. They just need a different voice. They just need a different leader. Because Brett Brown ain't it. I've waited. I've been patient. I mean, hell, it's 2020. The guy first started taking over this team in 2013, and we gave him a pass because he was playing with G Leaguers and guys you got off Craigslist and guys you got from the CYO basketball league. I understand it. But the question with Brett Brown was always, let's see what he can do when he has talent. Guess what, folks? He's got talent now, and they're the number 6 seed.
Most displeased with your apparent lack of progress.
It's ridiculous. This was supposed to be a team that was the number one team in the East that would, yeah, okay, I'm not expecting, you know, 96 Bulls level record. But they weren't really supposed to struggle this much. And they are. I'm looking at a team that hasn't been held accountable. I'm looking at a team that when they're losing, they look disinterested. And when they're blowing bad teams out, that's everything's going great. There's nobody in that locker room to grab guys by the jersey and say, pick it the hell up. That is troubling to me. As a fan, that's troubling. You don't win like that. And if we're here to just give out participation trophies, listen, all I ever hear from Gen Xers and baby boomers, because I'm a millennial, all I ever hear is my generation loves participation trophies. If that's all we're here to do is give out participation trophies and hope that they make the Eastern Conference Finals, fine. Tell me now. Because I swore the end game to all this was a parade with rings, with speeches, with smiling faces, and with the Larry O.B. That, I swore that was the end game. Maybe it's not, though. Maybe it's just, hey, let's just be a good team and pat themselves on the back. It's all good. Hey, you tried your best. Trying your best works when you're 6 years old playing soccer. And literally, you've got 20 random six-year-olds just following the ball. That's when try your best works. That's when I'll take you out to go get Dairy Queen, and we can all laugh about it, and the game doesn't really matter if you win or lose. Guess what? It's the NBA. It matters now. We're no longer rebuilding. We're in a win-now mode, and they're not winning. So please, why does Brett Brown deserve to keep his job? I'm all ears. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. He's been waiting patiently. Chris, you're on the Fanatic.
Yo, Pat, do you remember when they started running the commercial, the moment is now, it's the time.
Welcome to the moment. Welcome to the moment. Yeah, I'm still waiting for that moment.
Right? So I'm with you, and you know what? I'll give you an Eagles point at the end, but you know what? Look, I look at it twofold. On one hand, I really hear, you know, that I think that Brett Brown has been so used to losing over his tenure here that it's really just become ingrained on him to the point that I don't really think he knows how to get this team over the true hump of winning a title. Like, it's a shame when your best player is the team, pretty much. When Joel Embiid's not playing, you don't really have a chance because Ben Simmons can't step up to save his life. Would Tom Thibodeau do it? Would Ty Lue do it for you?
Ty Lue, absolutely not. Honestly, neither of those guys. If I'm being honest, and I will preface this, Chris, by saying that I've talked in length to Devon Givens, who's normally in this spot. By the way, if you listen to this program regularly, usually Devon's in here. Devon's forgotten more basketball than I'll ever know, so I hold his opinion extremely high. And we were talking about this the other day about, and the names that you just brought up were brought up. I don't like either of them, and then I defer to Devon to see his reaction. He doesn't like either of them either. And my big problem with Tyronn Lue especially is Tyronn Lue got so much credit because he told LeBron to shut the you-know-what up. And yeah. It's like, dude, I mean, come on. You could have rolled the ball out with that squad and won. And that was LeBron James taking over, not so much Tyronn Lue coaching. I have no interest in really either. My guy's Jeff Van Gundy, but I don't know if he'd – I think he'd want to because this roster's good. But I think they need a guy like that, though. Like, you're in the right area because I think they need a hard-ass coach. Both those guys you mentioned are hard-ass coaches. I mean, at this point, they just need a different voice in the locker room.
Hey, Pat, listen, all right. So I got an Eagles point, but I was going to say, my problem with Ben Simmons, he doesn't say I enough. He says too much we. If you listen to his press conferences after the game yesterday, and even after the season last year, he said too much we instead of what he needs to improve on. And everybody else said I. That's a big telltale sign about Ben Simmons. But when I look at the Eagles, I'll ask you this. Had our guys, Deshaun, Alshon, been on playing all year, and had they actually caught the ball and not dropped it, well, we've been having this conversation about Greg Ward, guys like Greg Ward and Burnett stepping up and actually going out there and playing or catching the ball and looking better than our actual starters do?
Probably not. I mean, it's injuries are the reality of the game. It's frustrating because when you look back on this season, there are so many games that were right there. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons game especially, you know, Nelson Aguilar loses the ball on the lights. Oh, he could still be running. If he caught that ball, you look at the Dolphins game. I mean, if the defense had just shown up and said they stayed in Philadelphia, But if they had just shown up, you win that game. I mean, this is very easily could have been a 10-11 win team. And unfortunately, because of injuries and because of some bad luck, but just poor execution at times, they're 9 wins. But with that, though, you take the good with the bad. They're still in the playoffs, and they're going into the playoffs hot, which is what you want. You don't want to be going into the playoffs cold, obviously. So I like their chances, Chris, but what about you for this Sunday?
Oh, no. I think it's going to be a dogfight, but I do think they have a chance. But look, talk about participation trophies. Look, if that were the case, then somebody across the street would have got one, even though they caved 2 seasons in a row under Gabe Kapler. If that was the case and participation trophies were a thing, they would have got one because they gave effort. No, they didn't.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for the phone call, man. I mean, here's my thing. Because I realize I might be talking out of both sides of my mouth with the whole participation trophies thing. Because you look at both teams in the Sixers and the Eagles, and one team I'm saying, look, it's just important to get one guy playoff experience, and the other team is win now, win now, win now. At the beginning of both seasons, they were both win now, and I understand that. But when you factor in the circumstances of both teams, one team is going into the playoffs completely banged up. Completely banged up. The other team is not. The other team, I mean, right now, January 1st, they're healthy. Yeah, okay, Joel Embiid was held out with a knee injury, but it was more, in my opinion, load management than anything. I don't expect that to linger. Both the Sixers are healthy, and they're struggling. The Eagles, if they were struggling, if they'd missed the playoffs, you can point to reasons why. All right, right tackle's out. You're down to practice squad guys. Your left tackle is 150 in football years. Cornerbacks aren't that good, and even then they're banged up. I mean, you can point to reasons why, and that's one of the reasons I go, okay, maybe this isn't the year for the Eagles. Now, I think it's foolish to say they're definitely not going to win, because we were proven that literally 2 seasons ago when we were under the exact same situation, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. They ended up getting hot, winning the Super Bowl, and on the coattails of Nick Foles there. But with that said, it's important to get Carson Wentz that experience in the playoffs. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have experience in the playoffs. Last 2 years, they've been in the playoffs. And they've dealt with heartache. That Kawhi Leonard shot still hurts when I see it. I still cringe. I get like a stink face. Doesn't feel good. When that shot went in, I spent 45 minutes watching it on a loop. I'm not even kidding. 45 minutes waiting for it not to go in. I just kept repeating over and over again. It went up, and then it hit the rim, and it went up and hit the rim, and then went up and hit the rim and in. To the point where my wife had to tell me, you got to stop. But she doesn't get it, because she's not like a diehard Sixers fan or anything. She likes Netflix and Hulu and stuff. I don't know. But she doesn't get it. Like, she didn't get the heartache. And it was the most crushing loss I can remember in terms of basketball by far. In terms of sports, I'd really have to think back, but yeah, it hurt. And they went through that. And I think it's helped I think it helped Joel Embiid, because you're seeing a more mature Joel Embiid this season. And Ben Simmons, I think he worked on his game, and I think it has shown minor improvements, but not the improvement where you go, okay, this is what we were talking about. This is the next level. This is it. He took that next step. Now, I'm not here to say like Ben Simmons is a bad player. He's not. He's a very, very good basketball player. He's going to be an all-star. He gives you everything except that killer mentality and that jump shot. And those are 2 things you kind of need. But literally everything else, defense, rebound, all that, passing ability, court vision, even health, he gives you. But the 2 things he doesn't are unfortunately the 2 things that are probably the most noticeable on a basketball court. And to me, that leads into coaching a little bit in Brett Brown and how he can't get that out of him, and who can, because it's in there and we see it once a month. We see the aggressive Ben Simmons, and it's glorious. We don't know when it's coming, but you see it. I need a guy who can get that out of him. I need that guy who can get it out of him on a regular basis. And I think that Ben is way too comfortable with Brett, and Brett is way too comfortable with Ben. 610-632-0975. Chuck, I got to hit a quick break, man, but you're going to be the first one up after the break, so don't go anywhere. We're talking the Sixers. Chuck's not happy. I see he's not happy. I want to hear why he's not happy. I feel like me and Chuck are going to have a more of a therapy session than anything about this basketball team. Because, look, I'm a season ticket holder of the Sixers. All right? I'm paying my money. I go down there. I cheer this squad on. And I do so with the end game being a championship. That's the whole thing. The end game being a parade. What I'm seeing now, the return on investment just isn't there. You're not getting what was promised. And when Elton Brand says it'll make sense soon, when? It's January. When's it going to make sense? I'm waiting. 610-632-0975. It is Pat Egan with you until 10 o'clock on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, we're talking Brett Brown. I do want to, maybe next segment, give you guys the opening day rosters for all the teams in the 2010. So the beginning of last decade, some blast in the past. We've been throwing out some of the decade's worst players in Philadelphia sports. I've gotten a lot of good ones on Twitter, so if you have one, by all means, one of those guys that you just think back to and just cringe about the fact that they actually suited up and got a paycheck from this city. There's a lot of good ones out there. A lot of great players, don't get me wrong, but a lot of dreck. Let's go to Chuck in North Philly. Chuck, you're on The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is like the funniest show ever right now. I mean, not funny, bad, like you're a joke, but funny, like I've been waiting for this for a long time. And I told D, it's going to autocorrect. I'm just going to sit back. I'm uninvested right now because I've seen enough. And the autocorrect is beginning. Now that we're having shows with it can be said, it's starting, and I'm very appreciative.
Yeah, I didn't want to come on. Like I don't, you know, it's not like I hadn't thought about it. I think a lot of people out there have thought, is he the guy? Because the reality is, we don't know. His pedigree is he was a Popovich assistant. He was coming from the player development side. He was the perfect guy for a rebuild. But in all honesty, nobody out there can tell me for sure they know this guy is a very good coach. We just don't know. And because of that, when you're win now mode, if anyone out there can tell me why this guy deserves to keep his job right now, I'm all ears. Because he came on in 2013, fine. You ignore the first 4 years. But the last 3 years, it's like, what has he done? He's got guys coming out in the media saying there's no accountability. He's got another guy coming out in the media saying he's not being used correctly. I'm just wondering, what does he have to do?
So, I mean, what he has to do is be nastier.
Yes.
Be nice.
And I don't see that happening.
Every year. I go there every year, coach's clinic. I get invited out. You know, I'm not a coach, but, you know, I like to say I have a good basketball mind. And I'm in all the forms, like my nephews play ball and I play ball and et cetera, which none of that means anything because it's different on that level. But if I'm out coaching you from the couch, you know what I mean? I just don't understand. Like, that can't happen. I shouldn't be able to tell you to call a timeout, call a timeout. You don't call a timeout until it's absolutely past the point of calling a timeout. Like, this is, like, basic coaching.
There are boneheaded mistakes that happen. And, you know, when they happen and you're not in a win-now mode and you're just happy to get into the playoffs, fine, whatever. But that's not the case with this team anymore. You can't have the boneheaded mistakes. You can't have the three-game losing streaks. You can't get hammered and then have no accountability. There's got to be something there, and if it's not there, then I need to change.
Can I ask you a couple questions before you cut
sure.
me off? I don't know.
Absolutely.
Okay, so did the Indiana loss, like, was that the loss that broke the camel's back? Like, is that because, I mean, I'm just asking, because had they won that game, would we still be having this conversation? That's basically what I'm
asking. You know, it's a great question. For me, I had been having that conversation with a few people behind closed doors for a while now.
Okay.
So it wasn't like it was just this one game. That's a bad loss. I had been having that conversation because you look at just how the season starts, 5-0, great. That's how we expected. 0-3 after that. And this is their third straight three-game losing streak, second of the month, which is troubling. What's troubling to me is when I see a team that plays down to their opponent and plays up to their opponent. And to me, like, that's why I think people say they're built for the playoffs, but that's an attitude. That's a mindset. And that comes from the top.
Where does get you to the playoffs? And we know we're a better home team than road team. So that statement is idiotic to say, oh, we're built for... No, you don't get to the playoffs in a situation that
exactly.
You need to be in if you're not winning games, because we need to have that advantage. We saw that last year.
Yep.
Last year, I felt like he should have been fired, honestly. I felt like we had Monty Williams, the guy that was the natural successor. You speak about Van Gundy. I would take Mark Jackson over Van Gundy. But I know Mark wants a little bit more authority.
I'm not a huge thanks for the phone call, man. I'm not a huge Mark Jackson fan. But at this point, I'm not going to like really poo-poo any suggestion, because it's just a name that's not Brett Brown. And if that's your name, if Mark Jackson's your name, that's fine, because I can't tell you you're wrong. I mean Brett Brown at this point. I don't think he was fired last year because of the way they lost. If they had gotten blown out in Game 7 and looked ill-prepared, I think he would have been gone. But you lose on just a miracle shot. I think that is more of why he kept his job. And then they do the facelift. I think what annoys me the most in regards to the excuses that are made for the Sixers is, and this is an excuse that I'm sick of hearing, well, they need to gel. How many times have you guys heard that out there? Oh, yeah, they need time to gel. They gotta work together. Guys, new pieces. There's five of them. There's five. It's not 11. This isn't football. We need time to gel. I know it's a different sport. I'm aware, okay? I'm aware. But I'm just gonna make this comparison because it's 9:33 and it's my show and I can do it. I'm gonna make the comparison. Carson Wentz is throwing to guys that he just met that day and completing passes. Yet these guys have been working together for months. And we still need to give them time to gel? Look around the league. Look around the league. I'm looking at a Los Angeles Lakers team that is returning two starters from last year. They don't need time to gel. Oh, but Pat, they have LeBron. Okay, fine. Fine. You want to use that excuse? That's cool. I'm looking at a Clippers team that did a complete overhaul that is three games out of first place in the East. I'm sorry, in the West. They don't need time to gel. Guess not. The Miami Heat have Jimmy Butler, Kendrick Nunn, Tyler Hero, not exactly household names, Bam Adebayo.
Who?
They're sitting there, and they are 15 percentage points out of second place. But with the Sixers, when it comes to the Sixers... Guys, they need time to gel. How much? How much time? Because they got Jimmy Butler last year in November. And I had to hear for the entire season in the playoffs, hey, new pieces, need time to gel. I get it. They got Tobias Harris. I understand it's going to take time. I'm aware. I'm not naive to that fact. But we're months into the season. We're not weeks into the season. We are months in. So the argument of they need time to gel, stick it. I'm not having it. They need time to gel. Like, you're losing toward the Orlando Magic. You're losing to the Washington Wizards. And I'm getting told, oh, they don't worry, they'll pick it up. They'll get it together. Like, at what point? Because I'm sure we've all played sports out there, and I'm sure we've all been on sports teams that at one point have been pretty good. Right? And you might be playing against an inferior opponent and you tell yourself, yeah, we're good. Like, we'll flip the switch. The second period, we'll flip the switch. We're good. Third quarter, we got it. And then nobody flips the switch and you end up losing. That happens too much to this team, and it is leadership. It is the voice they're hearing. They got to get a change. Let's go to Abduo. Am I saying that right? Abduo?
Yeah, that's it. How's it going, brother?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So I've had a comparison in my mind for a long time. I think Coach Brown is like Mark Jackson right now. Like, remember when with the Warriors, Mark Jackson was pretty good, but he didn't take them to the next level. I think Coach Brown is Mark Jackson, and we need Steve Kerr right now. You know what I mean? Like, we need someone to take.
You need the guy. Yeah, exactly. You need the guy to get you over the hump. I was doing the comparison of Doug Collins with the Bulls in the 90s and then in the late 80s, 90s, and then they ended up hiring Phil Jackson. He got them over the hump.
Yeah.
I mean, you need that guy, and the Mark Jackson comparison's a closer one because it's, you know, more current. But yeah, I agree. I think he's the guy to get you to the guy. But I don't think you need the guy.
It's exactly. And like, Coach Brown has been doing a lot of rookie, and I wouldn't say rookie, but a lot of terrible mistakes, like his timeouts. Remember a couple of years ago in the playoffs when the Celtics in the they broke down a 20-point deficit and he didn't take one timeout. And he put J.J. Redick as a point guard. And remember when as soon as Jimmy Butler came in, he was a spot-up shooter until he had a fight with him. And, Embiid isn't posting up enough. Ben Simmons, I love this guy, but he's not shooting. You know what I mean? Like, it's been 3 years. Like, it's enough. You know what I mean? Like, we've been waiting for a championship. But right now, we have three stiff players, Embiid, Al Horford, who isn't working, Tobias, who isn't worth the max, in my opinion, Josh Richardson, who's worth $11 million, but we haven't seen, like, except one performance against Miami Heat, you know what I mean? Like, we need someone to come and turn this thing around. Like,
yeah, and I think your point there is very valid. I mean, they need somebody for sure that kind of lights a fire in them, but he got completely embarrassed and outcoached against Brad Stevens in that playoff series. And a playoff season, I thought they were going to win, and then Brad Stevens comes in and just obliterates them. And then you look at the new players they got. When you have a veteran player like Al Horford saying, look, I'm not being used correctly. I don't think that was an accident that he said that, because I myself have sat there going, when is this contract going to start looking good? You know, when is he start going to look like the player we thought we were to get? Well, he obviously is aware of how it looks, because he comes out and says, it's not me. It's how I'm being used. Well, who's implementing that? It's the coach.
Exactly. And I think Jimmy Butler had the same problem. Embiid right now, who isn't speaking up, has the same problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just one guy. It's the whole team.
It really is. And Abduo, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. You have a team full of nice guys. That's what it is. You have a team full of nice guys, and you need a team full of killers. And I think that they need that guy to get into their face and tell them, yo, this ain't it. Like, pick it up. And they had that last year. And a guy like Joel Embiid loved it. And a guy like Ben Simmons didn't so much. And I don't blame the organization for picking their 23-year-old all-star over the 30-year-old all-star. I think that's basic common sense, but it was an organizational decision that is simply just not working out. They need somebody that's not going to be their friend. They need somebody that sticks a foot up their ass and says, yo, can you get it together? Can you pick it up? As Abduo says, it's been 3 years of Ben Simmons. 3 years. Three. I mean, am I supposed to be patient with that as well? Am I supposed to continue to wait? I understand he's 23. And I am a huge Ben Simmons fan. I don't want this to be an anti-Ben Simmons show. I love Ben Simmons. But when you come out and say, hey, tell his people, tell his handlers, tell his agent, I want him shooting a 3-game. I want 8 free throws. Well, there's two problems there. Okay, the first one is, why do you have to go to his handlers? Why don't you just tell them yourself? Why are you having to pop off to the media about what you want? You're the coach. You're not an assistant coach. You're not a fan. You're the coach. Stop popping off to the media about what you want. Demand it. Demand that he takes this. And if he doesn't, he's not going to play. Because the reality is I'm doom and gloom right now. This team at their worst is going to be a playoff team in this week East. He's not going to do what he doesn't play. That's it. It's that simple. Now, on the flip side, you can play devil's advocate and go, well, Pat, he probably has said it to him, and he hasn't done it, so that leads Brett to say things in the media. Okay, if he's telling him to do it and Ben isn't doing it, then obviously the message isn't getting through, which means the message is stale, which means he needs to go. There's just no circumstance that I can think of right now that doesn't lead to they need a change. It's not like I have a vendetta against Brett Brown. I really like Brett Brown, okay? I like every time he calls up our shows and talks. I like it, okay? I think he's got an infectious personality, but they need a guy that puts a foot in their behind and tells them how it's going to be, and they don't have that. What they have right now is a comfortable voice they're used to, and they know what they can get away with. Ben Simmons knows. He's calling his bluff. He knows. Dude, if I don't shoot a three throw, if I don't shoot threes, if I don't attack the rim, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to put in Howell Neto? You're going to start Howell? You're going to have the whole place chanting Howell? No, what? You're not going to do that. So I've got you. All right, well, you know, if that's the case, if that's how Brett Brown wants to conduct business, that's not going to work. You're not going to win a championship like that. And that's what we're all about here. 610-632-0975. One more segment to go. It's Pat Hagan with you until 10 o'clock on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic Pro Shop is open. Quality Fanatic in Philadelphia sports themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Opened for shopping. Fanatic Pro Shop can be found at 975thefanatic.com. Pat Egan with you for one more segment to go. Talking Brett Brown and the Sixers. Mixing a little Eagles talk. I feel good. I feel good this Sunday. I do. I think this is the perfect matchup for the team. Out of all the playoff teams that they possibly could face, I like this matchup a lot. I think it's going to be a dogfight, though. I don't think it's going to be close. I mean, or, I'm sorry. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be close. But I think the Eagles end up pulling it out and advancing one more week. And hopefully we can finally put to bed the stupid, ridiculous argument from Carson Wentz haters of, he's never won a playoff game. Yeah, I wonder why. He's played 4 years, and the last two he's finished on injured reserve. And his third he's going to play in a playoff game. Or fourth. I can't think. My mind's fried. Let's go to Colin in Westchester. Colin, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Colin.
So I want to talk about the Brett Brown and Ben Simmons dynamic. So I guess right now we're kind of in the phase of figuring out, you know, is Brett Brown really the coach to lead us to where we want to go? But at some point, I think there kind of needs to be responsibility on Ben Simmons. You know, this guy, 3 years in the league, hasn't learned a jumper. You know, it seems like he's really distracted with, like, even Kendall Jenner and, like,
off. Hey, Colin, he plays well when Kendall Jenner's in the building.
Yeah, but, no, he just seems like someone who's, like, more focused on, like, the Hollywood life. And, you know, he's just, I feel like no matter who the coach is, Simmons just isn't going to get the message. So I think it's really just time for him to move on.
All right, Colin, let me ask you a question. Personal question here. How old are you? Colin.
Hello.
What's up?
Let me ask you, how old are you?
20.
20, okay. All right. What do you do for a living?
I'm in college.
That's cool. I mean, college is fun. All right. So when you get out, what are you majoring in?
Actuarial science, so math.
Math is fun, okay? I wasn't good at it, but it's fun. So you get out, you get a good math job. Kendall Jenner comes and wants to date you. What are you saying?
I mean, obviously, I'd say, yeah.
Absolutely, because she's Kendall Jenner. She's gorgeous. I'd chuck my ring into the ocean if Kendall Jenner came calling. I'd be calling Cordell and Cordell.
But if he wants to be distracted with Kendall, then we just got to ship him out of here. You know, we're here to win championships.
No, yeah. I understand. I think, honestly, I think the Kendall Jenner thing is a little overblown because, I mean, he's in the gym. He is working. I understand what you're saying, by the way, with the whole he hasn't developed the jump shot thing. I just think blaming it on Kendall is just not the argument to make just because they, I mean, a lot of these guys have girlfriends and lives and stuff. It's not all just basketball. Even Jimmy Butler has a life. He'll go on vacation. He'll train. And same thing with Ben. He'll go on vacation. He'll also train. But I think to your main argument, though, there is some validity to it. You have to put some blame on Ben Simmons for this. It's not all Brett Brown because Ben Simmons has to look himself in the mirror and say, yo, I want to be great and I'm willing to fail to be great. And I think that's the big problem with Ben Simmons is at times he's so concerned with just looking ridiculous with it, whether it be taking a jump shot or missing it or whatever. And I think he doesn't want the story to be that it got to the point where he didn't take a jump shot for so long that he doesn't want the story to be he finally takes a jump shot, he misses it. He wants it to be he takes a jump shot, he makes it, which is troubling because dude, just take it. You know, I don't care if you miss it or not. I just want to see you take it. Look how we reacted when Markel Fultz took a jump shot. He missed that thing, and we gave him a standing ovation. So,
yeah,
I think, and thanks for the phone call, man. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the math and college and stuff. Enjoy it, because let me tell you, once you graduate and Sally Mae comes calling, all the fun's over. But I think when you look at Ben Simmons, yeah, he has to look himself in the mirror, and I think that's a maturity situation. That will come with time, but hasn't come yet, which is frustrating because it's been year three now. But remember, he's only 23 years old. He is young. And yeah, I'm as frustrated as anybody at the lack of progress in Ben Simmons' game. And not to bring in harp on Brett Brown a little too much, but one of his strengths was supposed to be player development. And this is a player who really hasn't developed too much under your tutelage. He's developed a little bit here and there. I'm not going to ignore it, but it's not been this amazing development that we've kind of expected. I want to see jump shots too. But my bigger thing, though, is improve your free throw percentage because your ability to get to the rim is already there. And if you can improve your free throw percentage, then you're going to be a monster. Let's go to Joey in Philly to close out the night. Joey, you're on the Fanatic.
Pat Egan. Listen, Carson Wentz is average.
Okay, no, he's not.
I need to put a stop.
No, he's not.
I need to put a stop to all this hype. Let me explain to you why.
This should be fun. Go ahead.
I'm going to explain to you why right now.
Go ahead, Joey.
Okay. The last four games of the season, give me a break. The teams they played, yes, he played well. They finished 4-0. The teams they played were horrific.
Yep. And
this
who did he play with?
Against Seattle, wait a minute. This week against Seattle is the game. He has to step up and play well.
And if he does, what are you going to say? You're going to back up the goalpost because you're a hater.
If he does, I say I'm wrong.
No, you're a hater. Just say it.
I'm not a hater, but he's not going to play well.
How do you know that? He's played well the past 4 weeks with garbage cans as wide receivers.
He has.
Yeah, the last 4 weeks. Have you not watched?
The last 4 weeks were against horrific teams.
But who has he thrown the ball to? Name them. That is
Greg
the argument.
Ward. Okay, Greg Ward.
Who was where? Where was Greg Ward to start the season?
Fine. What secondary was he throwing against?
Oh, my God. Joey, you're beyond help. You're beyond help, bud. I can't help you. I can't. I cannot help a guy like that. I appreciate him calling. I do. I appreciate all the callers. You contribute to the show. I truly do. I'll pray for that man. I'll pray for Joey. You're beyond help. If you're going to lambast Carson Wentz tonight, you're beyond help. I mean, you're a guy who's never going to be happy. If he wins the Super Bowl, you're going to focus on the one interception he throws. Or it's not going to be because of him. Real quick, I just want to go through the starting lineups of the 2010. So the Philly starting lineup in 2010, Jimmy Rollins, Placido Polanco, Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Jason Worth, Raul Ibanez, Shane Victorino, Carlos Ruiz, Roy Halladay. I was at that game. It was tremendous. Roy Halladay's first game. That's good. We look to the Eagles starting lineup, and you had Michael Vick at quarterback. You had Jeremy Maclin, Jason Avant, Deshaun Jackson, Brent Celek, Jason Peters, Jamal Jackson, Todd Harriman's, Nick, don't call me Trent Cole, Winston Justice, Brandon Graham, Trent Cole, Mike Patterson, Broderick Bunkley, Akeem Jordan, Stuart Bradley, Jesus, Ernie Sims, Asante Samuel, Ellis Hobbs, that was a gross one, Nate Allen, and Quentin Michael. And let's go to the Sixers really quickly before we close out the show. This is going to be pretty gross. Andre Iguodala, Elton Brand, Drew Holiday, Spencer Hawes, Jason Capono. Jesus, Jason Capono could have been on the list. And then finally the Flyers. Blair Betts, Daniel Briere, Dan Carcillo, Matt Carl, Jeff Carter, Braden Coburn, Simone Gagné, Claude Giroux, Scott Hartnell, Ian LaPerriere, Ryan Parent, Daryl Powell, Chris Pronger, some guy whose name I literally can't say and have never heard of, Mike Richards, Danny Savret, Kimmo Tiiminen, James Van Riemsdyk. That is, God, how times have changed. Thanks, everybody, for listening, calling in, including Joey, who just made a fool of himself. But I'm sure if they win on Sunday, he'll say, it's not Carson Wentz's fault, because that's what Carson Wentz haters do. They back up the goalpost. I'm Pat Egan. I'll be with you guys on Sunday for the Green Zone live at Rivers Casino with Tyrone Johnson. Thanks to my producer, Nate Marlowe. I appreciate you you answering phones and producing the show and all that
good
stuff.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.